If you all would rise, we're gonna sing number 449. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, oh how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in his sorrows. He bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, oh how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, oh how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with a ransom in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amen. It's good to have Sue back. Amen.
Let's enter into the presence of the Lord today with thanksgiving from our hearts. And as we look into God's presence, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We've got more than two or three. I hope he's still here. Amen. Yeah. The Lord is with thee. Brother Gene, will you lead us, please, in our prayer?
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Good to see all of you today. Appreciate your being here. While I'm thinking about it, I talked to my daughter Susie this morning, and she went over after work Friday to Phoenix to see our to see my great-grandson, her grandson, little Miles, who has cancer. And she told me this morning, asked me to announce this to you in case you're interested. They're going to have a toy drive over there for the little children in that Phoenix hospital. So many of them have cancer over there and are suffering. And asked that if you had some, you know, toys, packaged toys, new toys, that not ones that your kids is already wore out, you know, that you keep it for sentimental values. You got any of those? Yes. But anyway, they're having a toy drive over there. You have something you would like to give to them. She'll be back pretty soon, and in fact she's on her way now coming home. And she'll be glad to take those and see that they get over there to those children, okay? Little Miles is at home at the present time. And he goes back and forth. He has to go back to the hospital for his chemo treatments. And then if he gets a fever, like he did last week, of 103, he has to go into the doctors and they work on him to bring his fever down. I've enjoyed having the Hawkins family with us on this furlough at their own. We had a good time yesterday evening, went down to Applebee's, had a good dinner. We met at 5:30, and we ate until 8. What was it, true? At least 8 o'clock, wasn't it? Yeah. Most of that was talking, it wasn't eating. But we had a good time together, and it's a joy to have them with us today to minister. Now, we have some special things that are coming up. First of all, we're going to have a Bible reading. Then we're going to have a men's course. And then a little gal by the name of Charlene is going to sing for us. And I don't know what else is going to happen around here, but what, Roger? Yeah. Yeah. Now this is not one of those cosmetic surgeries to make her look trim and this is a real one, yeah.
Brother Patterson's birthday today.
It is? How many? Get out of here. Mary?
What kind of toys? For boys and girls or
I can't hear you, honey.
What kind of toys? Can we bring boys and girls toys?
Little kids' toys. I don't know. It's been so long since I was a kid. They didn't have toys when I was a kid. We whittled them out of hickory branches. Ages? All ages. All ages. I don't really know, Mary. I just talked to her about that long about it.
When do you want us to bring it? When do you want us to bring it?
Anytime. I think it's for Christmas anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. What's next? Who's going to read the Bible for us today? All right. Come up here, Robert.
Good morning. We'll be reading from 1 John in the 5th chapter, if you care to read along. It'll be verses 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
Thank you.
The men's chorus is going to sing. Jack is going to lead it.
What are we singing this morning?
In the garden.
In the garden?
Yeah.
What number is that?
I don't know.
Oh, we got sheets today?
Come on up here, because
kind of squeeze in.
Get up here around the microphone, because Wayne Fox got to hear this.
This for Wayne? This is for Wayne.
Yeah, hardly.
Morning to you.
How are you? Better squeeze in tight, gentlemen, please.
Come on.
It's 270.
Come on.
Right. Close your
step
microphone.
Can't get much tighter than this.
That's what we want.
We're packed like sardines in a can.
Falling on my ear, the sun.
So first, let's sing happy birthday to Brother Pat. I think Brother Johnny's birthday too, and Brother Terry. We'll sing happy birthday to them. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. We're going to sing number 493. I think we'll have our offering.
Amen.
No, it's after the next song. We'll have our offering after the next song. 493. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. Patient and loving, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we linger when Jesus is pleading? Pleading for you and for me. Why should we wait then and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Amen, amen. Would you all stand then for our offering hymn? We're going to sing number 288. We'll sing just the first and the third and the first stanza, so we can have a couple specials here for this. The joys are flowing like a river since the comfort Comforter has come. He abides with us forever, makes a trusting heart his home. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me, how the billows cease to roll. Like the rain that falls from heaven, like the sunlight from the sky, so the Holy Ghost is given, coming on us from on high. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me, how the billows cease to roll. What a wonderful salvation, where we always see his face. What a perfect habitation, what a quiet resting place. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me, how the billows cease to roll.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we bow before you today, we want to thank you for your goodness toward us. Thank you for your grace that you have freely bestowed upon us in abundance. We thank you, Father, that we can say today that we're saved. We're saved because Jesus loved us, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us on the cross. We thank you, Father, for sending us a good missionary today to challenge our hearts for the work that needs to be done yet in spreading the gospel throughout the world. We pray that you will bless the gift and the giver as this offering is received today. Use it for your name's honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord willing, this evening at 6 o'clock, I'm going to be bringing a message on the first Pentecost. I would challenge you this afternoon to read Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Well, we're going to talk about the first Pentecost, not the fulfillment that you'll be reading about when you read Acts chapter 2. And Wednesday evening, we will most likely be completing our study on the life of David. We've had 10 or 12 lessons already on that, and it's been a most exciting and wonderful study about this man whom God will raise up from the dead. He's been dead for a long time. God is going to resurrect him from the dead and set him as king over the nation of Israel. And he's going to rule Israel for 1,000 years. He's already ruled 40. God's going to bring him back and let him rule some more. This man who was a man after God's own heart. And we'll be studying about the winding up of his life Wednesday night. And so after that, I'm thinking seriously about teaching the book of Ezra and acquainting you with the history of Ezra's day. It'll be a very profitable study for you, and I think you'll enjoy it as we look into the book of Ezra. So read it. Start reading there in your daily reading of the scriptures and acquaint yourself with Ezra. And now at this time, we're going to have Charlene come and sing for us here. We're glad that she has come out today on this special day. And the song that she's going to sing today, she'll tell you about it. It'll be dedicated to our missionary.
When I heard that you're going to be having missionaries here today, I says, oh, I got a song just for that. But it also talks about Sunday school teachers and the givers who give their offering, whether it be every week in church or for special offerings that are taken for our missionaries. And so I am finding at this moment that I need to talk a little bit to calm my nerves. So I'm going to ask you, if you were a Sunday school teacher, either have been or are right now, if you'd raise your hand or stand. Any Sunday school teachers from the past? And we got our missionary. Any retired missionaries here today? All right. Okay. Well, this song is especially for Sunday school teachers, missionaries, and of course all of you who give your tithes and offerings to the Lord. There's a long lead, I know. There we go. I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, but someone called your name. He returned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you. He said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. One by one they came, as far as the eye could see. Each one somehow touched by your generosity. The little things that you have done, the sacrifices made, unknown on the earth, but in heaven now proclaimed. And I know that in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost certain there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I was a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you
gave. Thank you, Charlene. We appreciate that. Well, since Brother True has only 15 minutes to preach before the bewitching hour of noon, Johnny, you going to save yours till later? All right? Okay. Can you preach for 15 minutes? You never tried that, huh? You're not under constraint here. We changed our time and we just haven't gotten used to it yet. But anyway, we want to welcome you to our pulpit. We're glad you're here and to come and preach to us at this time. Okay. All right. Pardon.
Well, good morning, and it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to share just a few more words about what's going on in the Amazon region.
You forget about that 15 minutes.
Okay. And I promise you I won't be long. I get hungry, too, you know, but I don't care about what game starts at noon. That I don't care about. We're from way back, you know, Midwest. Never mind. Anyway. Okay. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and to report, and for your faithful prayers and support over all these years. As I was listening to the song, of course, that's very true. It was God's plan in Acts chapter 13. If you'll look at it, you'll see it very clearly there, that churches would send missionaries out. And so without churches, it's impossible for the mission program to exist. And so missionaries need churches. But then there's the other side of the coin too. How in the world are you going to obey the command that God's given to us in the missionary mandate in Scripture without somebody that will go and reach people? And so if you were here in the first hour, you heard us talk about a little bit about what's going on there, you don't put missionaries up on a big pedestal. They're just the people on the ground. God's doing the work, you see, and we're just privileged to be a part of it, and we're excited about what God's doing there and finishing up our family ministry, our two generations actually of family ministry there, and we've been privileged to do that. And we've got some challenges. I was speaking to Brother Sam Burton just a while ago, and we've got some challenges there. We've got some problems with leadership. We've got some problems with, and he was thinking about what had happened with UFM. He was mentioning that, you know, and we've got some challenges, but our job's done and it's been completed. We've done it biblically. And so now the rest of it's in God's hands. And so we've got some issues we've got to work out, but God's blessing the work there, not only in the city of Manaus. We have 32 churches already operating there. So we have infrastructure to send missionaries throughout the whole region. We have two Bible institutes there, one night day school, one night school. And we have now from these schools spread out, and we're starting new missionary church projects all over that whole entire region. And that is to God's glory. And that's what, you know, when we think of a missionary, we think of a man going and building one church in one spot. And that's wonderful when that happens. But when you see that God has a better idea and a much more fruitful ministry, that gets you more excited even. So God's allowed us to be a part of this, of helping churches build churches, and this is a very exciting thing for us. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, and think about this. Think about the fact that everything that goes on there, because you give and pray, just as the song said, you're an integral part of that. You're just like you being there. Except you don't have to sweat like we do. And it's hot and humid down there. It's not humid here, but it's like 110% down there most of the time. The heat index reaches about 160 degrees during the hot part of the year. Heat index, not luckily not the regular degrees, you know, temperature. And you don't get to eat the food we get to eat. And probably most of y'all will thank God for that. And there's a few other things you don't get to do, but you are there, you are present, you are actively building churches, training men and women, sending out missionaries, and reaching those lost tribes out there in the middle of the jungle with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You may not even know the people, you know, that you've trained, and that doesn't matter. What matters is that God's doing the work there in the Amazon. And this, multiply that all around throughout your rest of your mission program, and you get an idea about what you're accomplishing through your worldwide mission program here at this church. So you've got to be glad that you're a part of this, and you're a part of something much greater than your own self. And that's the title of my message today. And like my disclaimer in the first hour will be for the second hour too. About the time I get used to talking in English, it's time to go back, and then I get all confused all over again. But y'all bear with me. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. You may remain seated, and I'm just going to bring out a phrase out of this verse. We're not going to preach on the prayer of Jabez and all the postmodern theology that's been based on that. Forget about all that. I'm going to preach a real message, a missionary message out of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast or border, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. This morning, just one phrase out of this verse: God, enlarge my coast. Thank you, Lord, for this day and the opportunity that's been given us, that we'll be brief this morning, share a missionary challenge to these people that have given all these years sacrificially. They've been involved in every turn of the trail down there in the Amazon. They've been involved in building seminaries and training and preaching the gospel and planting churches, and this has been their task, and they've done it well. Thank you for their faithfulness and their goodness and their vision. And God, make this a reality, this prayer of Jabez a reality in our hearts today, as we enlarge our vision to even do more in the year coming, 2015, because the wheat truly is white unto harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this prayer, of course, has been the theme of many sermons, pamphlets, books, prosperity claims, and all that other stuff, but it's been misused and abused and claimed as a tool to get what you want from God. But materialism, of course, has flooded our society and has become part of everything that we do. It's even in the thoughts and minds of Christians and in the church today. The modern church movements have influenced us, I guess, to cancel our mission outreach program. We have a saying back in Texas, is that they throw missions under the bus. I guess you probably get that from there. Throw missions under the bus and then focus on your local building program. I was in a church the other day on Sunday morning. They're going to build a $2.2 million annex about the size of your auditorium here, with some slides for the kids and some area there. And I don't know a whole lot. I didn't see a whole lot there for $2.2 million. I'm wondering how many buildings could I build for $2.2 million on the mission field. But anyway, they're pretty much focused on their own selves. And they've forgotten that we're not here to build up our own empire. We're here to build God's empire, God's kingdom. And so materialism causes us to be stuck on ourselves and become nearsighted, and we become a me first type of person. And it limits our world really to what's around us. And we get more concerned about physical things than spiritual things. More concerned about the temporal than the eternal. That's what happens through materialism. Now, God's people ought to be broad-minded, especially church people that work in a local church and give the missions. We can't think narrowly. We have to have a global vision. We can't be stuck in a little box or even given to circular reasoning, but we've got to have a greater vision of what God has for us here. Now, very quickly, I only have 3 points this morning and an illustration. That's, we do that. We teach our college students there, Bible college students. You have to have 3 points and an illustration, you know, the three types of messages and homiletics and all that stuff. But I don't usually obey that. I teach that, but I don't usually obey that. But I'll just be real quick and brief this morning. I believe we have to have three prayers in our mind here out of this text. One is that God enlarge the borders of our minds. Proverbs 23:7 says, "So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." That's interesting. It's no secret that the greatest problems that we face in our personal lives usually come out of our own heart and mind. So the battle for our life, our spiritual life, is fought right here in between our ears and here between our shoulders. Human nature likes to compare and judge things, and we always like to find someone that's worse off than we are so we can lift up ourselves and say, "Well, I'm better than that," or I'm doing pretty good, actually, when you find somebody way down there on the curb. Yesterday, we were getting out of the car there at the hotel, and there's a man walking around with a flashlight, looking for aluminum cans, pick up, and he had a big old bag of aluminum cans, and I guess y'all must recycle everything here. He had plastic and paper, and I don't know what else he had there. And he went through there looking for aluminum cans. I don't know if he does that just for exercise and or what he does that for, but you know, there's a lot of people we can look and say, my goodness, we're doing pretty good compared to such and such a person. We might even be tempted to do that on a spiritual basis, but you know, you need to enlarge the borders of your mind. Diana and I were remembering a young lady from Hereford, Texas. Anybody know here where Hereford, Texas is? Preacher does know where that is. He's from out there in West Texas. This young lady came to Bible college, and Hereford, Arlington, Texas is, I don't know, maybe 300 miles, maybe, I don't know, maybe more than that. And come to find out, she came there, and you say back in Texas, she's looking at everything at the college like a calf at a new gate. Now, if you don't understand that, I won't bother explaining that. But she had never been more than 20 miles from her home until she came to Bible college, age almost 19. So sometimes people get caught up in their own little world, in their own little bubble, and they need their mind enlarged. They need their different vision for the world than just what they're accustomed to thinking about. This request, of course, is for God to widen our horizon and increase our dependence on Him and trust Him at His word and open our eyes of faith and not depend on our eyes of flesh. And once we pray sincerely before God, open our eyes, open and enlarge the borders of our minds, we're asking Him to replace our thoughts and put in His word. We're asking Him to replace our human plans for His perfect will. We're asking Him to throw out our knowledge and pour in His wisdom. And we're asking Him to push out ourself and raise up His banner in our hearts. That's what we're asking when we pray God enlarge the borders of our minds. And the second thing this morning, God enlarge the borders of my and our ministries. That ought to be our desire every day. You know, it's interesting. People say, well, it's God's work. No, you have a personal ministry. You have a personal. Some of you have the gift of giving. That's a wonderful gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you know, that's an incredible. The Macedonian church had the gift of giving. That was an extraordinary gift. It made an extraordinary church, and they got extraordinary things accomplished because of that. Some of you have the gift of counseling and the gift. You have different gifts. Some of you have the gift of singing, and I always say that's always wonderful. We enjoy good singing. Some of you have the gift of music, and you play the piano really well, and we appreciate that. And everybody has gifts and talents that need to be given to God so that He can enlarge them also. But if you'll look there in chapter 17 of Acts, you'll see a very interesting 21 verse 17 through 19 rather of the book of Acts. You'll see the Apostle Paul there when he came into Jerusalem. He came and he stood before the elders, and then he started recounting the marvelous works among the Gentiles. And then that's interesting by that last little phrase in verse 19 there, by his ministry. So we do have a personal ministry. Now, I know what mine is, and our question would be this morning, if we do have our personal ministry, we have to ask this question. I have to ask this question of myself every day is, what is your personal ministry, and how is God using you through it? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Our ministry's changed in Brazil. Before, we were dug into one spot. We built four churches in the city of Manaus, but you know, now God's got way better plans than our plans. He's got way better ways of doing things than our ways. And so now we're out and we're beginning 8 new works now all at once using churches. Now that's a whole lot better than just dug in one spot building one church, isn't it? Amen. And so now we get to go interior and build buildings, and we've had some exciting times. We've had some challenging times. It hadn't been easy. But you know, when has God's work been easy? It's never been easy. So God enlarge the borders of our ministry would be our prayer. You know, your presence in this church is not an accident. God's brought you here for a reason. He has a specific purpose for you. He has a ministry here for you, a job He wants you to accomplish, and a place where He wants you to serve. That's why you're here. He has given you talents, and these are to be used for God and His work in your local church and then beyond if you can. I got excited. Ruthie Burton, you know, I went to school, Ruthie. Her and her missionary partner are working on some new material for the kids in Brazil. Man, that's exciting. You know, we're supposed to be an educated country in Brazil, but we have a lack of good reference material. When you look for Sunday school, you go into a Bible bookstore there and look for Sunday school material. Oh my goodness. You have to wade through trash waist deep to get to one little book that you might be able to use. I'm sorry, that's just the truth of the matter. So that's why I've taken to writing our old Sunday school lessons. That's what I do now when I'm not building or off on some conference trail or there in Brazil. It's what we do now. How important that is. How fundamental that is that you can teach those children to begin them there. If they begin well, folks, the good chances they're going to end well. We have a saying in Brazil, if you win a child, you've saved an entire life. Isn't that incredible? That's good. That's a good point. So, you can be a blessing way beyond to your missionaries. Maybe an e-card or a regular card through the mail, or maybe just something that you can, you know, let me go through this again. I say this and understand what I'm saying. It's easy for you to just write out a check and drop it in the offering plate for missions, isn't it? It's just pretty easy. I don't know if y'all even use checks anymore. I don't. We still do. It's easy for you to open up, go into your and I know most of the homes I stay with, all the missionary cards are on the refrigerator. That's the most frequented place in the house, right? So they're all glued or stuck with magnets, and there's a solid line, sometimes 30 or 40 of them. And it's easy for us to go, oh, okay, Lord bless all these folks as we're getting our milk out to pour in our cereal. But what missionaries really need to know is that you folks are really standing with them. Standing with them. So God enlarged the borders of our ministry. That could mean that maybe God's going to call you sometime to go down to help over there in Zimbabwe, or I guess that's the way you pronounce it over there, or Mozambique in Africa, or maybe down to Mexico. I don't know. Tom Wright visited us last year with one of our friends, Gerald McElroy from Waco, Texas, Greater Waco Baptist Church. And he's a man that God gave a talent. He has got building business. So now what he does, he says, God's got a hold of my heart, he said to me. We were on a fishing trip, fishing peacock bass. Anyway, they love the fish. One time I fish, if there's somebody comes down there, I don't usually go normally. And he says, you know, God got a hold of my heart as we're sitting there in the middle of the lake pulling bass in. He said, you know, I've got this business and God's made it possible for me now. All I want to do is go over to Mexico and the Philippines and anywhere. Just point me in a direction. We've got a container we fill with our equipment and tools, and we take over there and we build churches on the mission field. That's what I want to do the rest of my life. He says he's a professional builder. He's got, I don't know, he's got a pretty big business going there in Waco. Isn't that incredible? God put that in his heart. He enlarged the borders of his ministry. We have to find out what we're good at and what we do and find out how we can use that in our local church and much beyond if God allows that. It's easy to get stuck in rut, get caught up in repetitive behavior and eat yesterday's manna and even put our spiritual life on cruise control sometimes. We need to get out of that. Our prayer should be, God, open new doors of opportunity for service. Point us down new roads. Grow our gifts and talents and shake us up. Move us forward. I have a book of sayings that I carry around with me. I write down. It's on my computer, and some of it's printed out. And the preacher said some things that are very important last night. And, you know, he's our patriarch in our fellowship, you know. I don't mean to say that he's old or anything like that, but he's been around a while. You know, and he says things that are important. He's the pillar. He was there with the guys in the beginning. He's important to us. And so I wrote some things down on a little napkin there, and I put them on my computer. And one of the things he says, you know, All change is not progress. That's pretty good. That ought to be in some book. It's in my book now. You got the date on there and who said it. All change is not progress. But God, move us forward in progress for your kingdom, for your work. Open doors. Move us to be involved in some activity that moves us to do something lasting for you. So our prayer ought to be, God, enlarge the borders of our ministry and challenge us to go further and do more. It's not enough for us to continue every year doing the same. God, do something supernatural in our ministry this year and in 2015. And then the last thing, the third is, God, enlarge the borders of our missionary vision. That's the equivalent, of course, of praying, God, enlarge my heart for missions. Give me a compassionate heart, a loving heart, a caring heart. You know, we have to ask ourselves, driving up to where Bill and Sharon work in the state of Hawaii, in the city of Boa Vista, we go down 740 kilometers, almost 500 miles of road. Now they ask me, do you have paved roads in Brazil? Yes, they're paved. Do we have roads? Yeah, like the one you saw on the missionary presentation. Sometimes you want to wear boots if you're riding a bike there, for sure. You know, we go down that road, and many times I've thought, you know, I'm zooming up there, try to get up there as best I can through the Waimea, throughout the Indian Reserve, 127 kilometers of nothing. Can we stop? You can't take pictures in there. Oh, my goodness. They grab vehicles. They burn people. They've killed people in there. And so we used to go through there with rat patrol jeeps, one in front, running back in a convoy. But now it's a little safer. You go through about 80 miles an hour. Way over the speed limit, because you don't want to stop there, take no pictures, you don't do anything, you just zoom through there, missing the potholes on the way and through the big, you know, whatever. I've thought many times over the years since the 70s how to reach those people. I'm glad that God enlarged the missionary vision of one of our graduates, and I talked about him this morning. He's from the YY tribe. And he's now got a church plant in there. The First Baptist Church in the Waimea Thuari is today having services somewhere there in that deep jungle on the side of the river in a hut. They're preaching the gospel to the Waimea Thuari. I've passed all those savannas, and we get out of the jungle into the savanna area there in Roraima, and I'm thinking, you know, all these, they call them vicinais, these little roads that branch off 174. Who's in there, I wonder. I wonder how many people live down that road. I wonder if they've ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where can we put up a radio station where we can beam out messages that, you know. And then I got up to the roundabout there. They call them bolas there in Brazil. And 452 goes up this way and 174 continues off and on up through Caracaraí to Boa Vista. So one time Diane and I said, let's go down this way, see what's down there. 228 kilometers of dirt road. Not all of it very good. What was it, 101 wooden bridges we crossed? I think we marked them all down, kilometers and whatever. They were pretty scary, some of them. Whoa, we're gonna make it over. Wonder how those big trucks come by here. I guess if they can, we can. Folks, there's people all through there that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Several tribes live along there. It's right by the British Guiana border in Brazil. There's just a lot of things that need to go on there. We have a little church plant there by a missionary near Serra Grande down this way, and we had an institute there that I don't know where it got moved among some of those people there. But we have to be able to look at the multitudes, and we have to have compassion on them. We can't sit by and watch all these herds of people, men, women, and children, pouring into the eternal fire and not bat an eye. We can't do that. We can never work next to someone and not care for their soul. You know, as I think about asking God to enlarge the borders of our minds, we may think of our missionary vision. We may think of, well, here I am. I don't have a whole lot to give. I always like to share the story of Glenn Dix. He was born in 1931, I think it was, and contracted polio when he was just very young age. He, of course, back then, you know, for the young generation, there were no cell phones back then. There were no TVs, no video games, and he didn't have any books. All he had was a radio and a Bible. So as he sat there day after day in that wheelchair, he looked at his terribly ravaged, skinny body and asked himself, well, what can I do for God? Well, he had a grandmother, lived down a hot, dusty road a ways, and every afternoon she'd come down that road with her two canes, one in each hand. She came to encourage Glenn and came to pray with him and to teach him scripture, memorize scripture with him. Well, she came across this 1 Chronicles 4:10 and she helped him memorize this verse. And Glenn Dix was, of course, you know, didn't have much perspective. Where was he going to go from where he was with this terrible disease and a wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down? What was he going to do for God? Well, he prayed this prayer: God, enlarge my borders. Well, if you know the story of Glenn Dix, he became the general director of Source of Light. And Glenn Dix today, at least a year or some ago, was 82 years old. Today, of course, they're in 180 different countries with their Source of Light material. We've used it in Brazil for many years. They have the doctrine, the seven doctrines of salvation. They have little other courses and things, and they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ along rivers and on top of mountains and on savannas and in cities and in villages and in Indian villages. And oh my goodness. What happened, of course, was he gave himself to God, just like the Macedonian church people did there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. And then he asked God to do something supernatural by praying this prayer: God, enlarge the borders. In this case, the borders of his missionary vision. How did that come about? Well, I don't know. God did it. Many people today probably are scared to go overseas, and that's probably a valid fear. Last week, we were in a mission conference with a couple going to Kurdistan. You know what's happened to the Kurds? They're surrounded by ISIS right now. They're fighting for their lives. These people are going to Kurdistan. Actually, I know their parents are out from the Navajo Reservation missionaries out there, Mark Haynes and his family. Folks, if you're in God's business doing God's things, then he'll keep you. And then when he's done with you, he'll take you. And of course, why would you want to live here one day longer than your usefulness for God? So I think that our prayer ought to be, God, enlarge the borders of our missionary vision. Enlarge the borders of our minds, of our ministry, and of our vision. We have to wear out the soles of our shoes for him. And I'll close with this. What are we going to do for God? I think pretty much Burtons will remember Fred Orr. Fred Orr came from England in 1959 or so, 60, I don't remember what year it came, maybe even earlier than that. He arrived in Brazil in the port of Belém, came up river on a boat to Manaus, and God had called him to the town of Irunepé. Back then, of course, you couldn't get there from here hardly. The boat took, I think, 10 or 12 days way back then. It takes 4 days now to get there, but 5 days. About 2 days before they hit port, his beloved wife died at the age of 20 years old. And the first time Fred Orr saw the city of Irunepé was hanging on to the casket of his wife with his Bible in his left hand. The whole town, of course, turned out to see this spectacle. This American, they didn't know the difference, an American and a British, anyway, it doesn't matter, getting off the boat with a casket holding his wife and his right hand and his Bible and his left. 2,000 people back then, that was the population of the town, came out to see this. And one of the young men, of course, all our people are very compassionate people. Most of them anyway in Brazil are wonderful people. And they all wanted to help. Well, how are we going to help this man? One of them tried to carry his Bible. He said, no, it's all I've got left. All I have left. The only sane thing would have been for Fred Orr to get back on that boat. It went on upriver from there. Get back on that boat once a month. Get back down to Manaus and get back to where he came from and come back in defeat. But God had enlarged the borders of his mind. God had enlarged the border of his ministry, and God had enlarged his missionary vision. He decided to stay because God had called him to Irunepe, Amazonas. Well, today there's all kinds of churches, all not only in that town, but all up down that river and back into the jungle. And of course, he had to move into Manaus because of his health later on, and they have a seminary there and several churches. Why? Because he prayed, God, enlarge my borders. He recognized he was something, a part of something much greater than himself. Let's pray that prayer this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this day and for your goodness to us. Thank you for a simple message, Lord, that would be an encouragement to this church. We know this church, where it stands, what it's done over the years. Imagine all the people it's won through its missionaries all over the world, the churches it's built all over the world, the missionaries, the national missionaries that have been sent out to reach people in cities and on top of mountains, on rivers, and everywhere the missionaries have gone. They've taken the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ with them because this church has been faithful. But Lord, that's not enough. We know in your service, we have to pray this prayer of Jabez. God, enlarge our coasts, our borders. God, enlarge our mind so that we don't forget who we are and what we're doing and just concentrate on just our little bubble of where we live and what we're doing and on our church. And God, enlarge our ministry also that we would look out and see a need and ask God to let you fill it in whatever talents and treasures that you have. And then, of course, God, enlarge our missionary vision. Oh, Lord, there were so many multitudes of people that need to hear. 64 tribes in northern part there where we work with it. We don't know how many of them have been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I know that they need to hear the gospel. Lord, that you would enlarge the missionary vision of our Brazilian people. You know my prayer for 200 missionary couples to blanket that whole northern part of the country with the gospel and go on into Colombia and Guyana and Venezuela and Peru, and we're already in Chile, Lord, and we're working all those countries there to the west of us. Lord, we need our missionary vision of our people and our churches in Manaus and in the Amazon region to be enlarged. Enlarge our missionary vision there, just as we ask that you enlarge the missionary vision of this church, that it can do much more than it did in 2014 in the upcoming year of 2015. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the humbling thought that you can use each and every one of us in our personal ministry for you, that we would be moved to do this. Thank you for the blessings that this church has been to us over the years, knowing that they've not only given and prayed, but they've stood with us. And whatever's been accomplished down there, they're an integral part of that. They will be rewarded one day, as the song we heard said, by someone coming up to them from some remote tribe, hordes of them maybe, as they file past into glory. Lord, there'll be smiles on their face and saying, because you were faithful, I am here. Thank you, Lord, for that privilege that we have, even through our own local church, the Faith Promise Mission Program, that we can be a part of ministries all over the globe. Thank you, Lord, for enlarging our ministry and our mind and our vision. In your name, amen.
Would you all rise? We're going to sing number 639.
The
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Amen.
What a joy it is to work together for the Lord. And what a pleasure it is to have missionaries such as the one you've heard this morning. I've known the Hawkins family for years. I've watched these boys as they've grown up. I've witnessed how God has used them, and my, what a legacy Joe Hawkins left us. I know of no other family on earth today that has been a greater blessing than the Hawkins family. We appreciate the work that they're doing, and what a joy it is for us to have a part in that ministry. And what you've heard today is a sample of what God has done. What a day it will be when we stand before God with all of these missionaries that we have had a part in their ministry. What a joy. I want Brother True and Diane to go out. They're going to be out there in the lobby of the church. Pick up one of their prayer cards for sure. And keep it in your Bible. And every time you read your Bible, you offer up a prayer for them and for the work that they're doing for God. We want to thank you for coming today. Thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. And if you don't know them, get acquainted with them today. You may not see them for 4 or 5 years, but you'll know them. You'll know where they are serving the Lord, and you'll know what they're doing for God. I'm glad to be called a missionary Baptist. We have a new list that's posted out there on the bulletin board. We have 40 missionaries. We have, just think what they would be if they were all gathered together here. They'd fill this auditorium up, wouldn't they? They're serving the Lord. and we have a part in their ministries. That's what it's all about. We're going to be talking about that tonight in our evening service when we talk about the first Pentecost. So come out and be with us in our evening service tonight. And we're happy to have Charlene here with us today. Her friend that came with her to sing for us a good missionary song. I hope you have a good afternoon. Do come back and visit with us this afternoon. They changed the time on us. It's going to be dark. But your car has headlights. Just stay out of other drivers' ways. Okay? And come back and be with us in this evening service. And put that Hawkins family right on the top of your prayer list. That God will continue to use them. As we're dismissed today in prayer, we're going to ask Brother Sam Burton to lead us in our benediction, because that's the part of the world where he and Betsy serve the Lord. They know those people. They've been there. They've done that. So Brother Sam, lead us in prayer, please. Amen.
That we might continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, the vision of what you are doing throughout the world, calling out a people for your name. And we thank you for that blood, that true and the honor, Lord, as they travel. Give them traveling mercy, be with their furlough time, and make it profitable for them. And I understand they want to try to go back.
Amen.
Ask you to be with them and bless them and bless them in every way. We think of Tim Hawkins out there in the now, right now.
Yes.